Hi, I'm Stu Baca, and I'm a Gen X grown-up, and I support Gen X grown-up on Patreon, and you should too at patreon.com/GenXGrownUp.
No life, no fun. Don't you know that you're a grown-up?
Gen X grown-up is a YouTube channel, website, and audio podcast you're listening to right now. All made for and by people who love exploring media, games, tech, and toys of yesterday and today through the eyes of Gen Xers who refuse to grow up.
Your dinner cannot just be french fries. Basically, life sucks as a grown-up.
Welcome back, Gen X Grown-Up Podcast listeners, to this, the backtrack edition of the Gen X Grown-Up Podcast. I am John. Joining me, as always, of course, is George. Hey, man.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, you know that Mo is here.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
The backtrack is, as you know, where we take a single nostalgic topic and dig in deep. And look, we all love movies and have a particular affinity for the films we watched and enjoyed growing up in the 80s. But we often hear it said, of some of our favorites, actually, that movie could never be made today. Grumble, people say, right? Mm-hmm. Well, that got us thinking. So in this backtrack, we're going to run through a few of those notorious films and weigh in on whether or not we believe they would be made today. Or further, would we greenlight them with our production company? What do we think?
The GHG production company, right? Would we do
it? In the current climate, that's right. What would we do? So that's the premise. And we'll get to that in just a minute. First, though, it is time for some fourth listener email. Now, the fourth listener this time around is Vern. He's written us several times, devoted listener. His email is based on the Purple Rain album backtrack that we did.
Oh, okay.
And his subject line of his email is, "Not my Prince."
Oh, so okay.
Here we go. Okay. Vern says, "Now don't get me wrong, that's always a great intro to any email."
You know there's some shit about to go down if you're on MLK Drive, right?
Yep.
Yeah. I don't mean to offend you, but.
Yeah, so he says, "Now don't get me wrong, I love the sense of nostalgia that your shows normally bring. I just did not feel that for the Prince Purple Rain podcast."
Okay.
"I still listen to, and I enjoyed the podcast. I just have no good memories associated with Prince." All right, well, that's fine. Yeah, that's not fine. Like we don't like Prince. It was just not for him.
I don't like succotash, so there you go.
You know, I like canned peas. Some people don't like canned peas. It's whatever works for you.
Right.
He goes on, though, to explain what he did resonate with and why he was listening to something different. He says, "In 1984, I was obviously in a different place musically than you guys were. 84 saw the release of a very important album to me, Ronnie James Dio's The Last in Line, an album that was a defining part of the music that would become the soundtrack of my life."
Okay.
When I hear people say the soundtrack of my life, it's almost a hackneyed term, but I get it.
Yeah, I do too.
When you have that music that just takes you back to a certain time of your life, I mean, when people say the soundtrack of my life, that's serious love for music. So I get that. He says, "It was a tape that I received as a gift and played until it wore out." Yeah, I've done that with some albums too. Right. It's the tape, the cassette, right? You get the metal and the tape just falls off because it stops working.
But they start stretching.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. He goes on to list several other defining music for him that he prefers to Prince in 1984. So Twisted Sister's Stay Hungry.
Sure.
Van Halen's 1984, appropriately enough.
Great album. Album.
Deep Purple's comeback album, Perfect Strangers. Good. Judas Priest's Defenders of the Faith. So he was in a little different arena of music than I was listening to. Now, Van Halen, of course, I definitely heard. It sounds like he leans toward maybe some heavier metal in some cases or heavier rock than I might listen to or Prince might have. But yeah, all good stuff. And frankly, all probably good contenders for a future backtrack when you think about
seriously.
It. Yep. He wraps it up by saying, "I could go on, and I'm no way putting you guys down for your love of the Purple Man. I guess my point is, we agree on lots of things, tech, toys, and otherwise, but if we had run into each other in 1984, we could still walk side by side, but our Walkmans would definitely be loaded with different tapes." Well put. Yep. I see people on YouTube commenting on videos where I say this game is good or bad or whatever, and they go, you're crazy. That game was so good. I'm like, dude, it just means that you and I would have made some great Atari trades back in the day. Take those cartridges, go, I'll give you this for that because you hate it and I love it. So
there you go.
No problem, Vern. He wraps it up saying, "Keep up the good work, guys." Vern, awesome.
Cool. Yeah, I get it.
Thank you for that. Yeah. Hey, Vern, thank you for listening. Thank you for writing in. We appreciate you listening and appreciate your writing. If you would like your email featured here on the show, it's drop dead easy. Just fire off an email to podcast@genxgrownup.com. Read every single one. And most of them, just like Vern's, will eventually make the show. All right. With that good business behind us, let's jump into the body of this backtrack right after this.
Hi, this is comedian and writer, and let's be honest, I do a lot of things. This is Dino Tripodis, the host of Whiskey Business, the podcast not so much about whiskey as it is one with whiskey. Yes, we drink and talk about whiskey, but we do so much more with so many interesting people. For example, we talk to comedians like Greg Warren.
You know, I don't want to brag, but let's just say I can walk into a Red Lobster and get whatever. You know, I think the pause right there is probably more important than the word.
Amazing athletes like boxing champion Buster Douglas.
When a fighter's down and he's looking for his mouthpiece instead of trying to get up.
That's when I knew it was over.
Yeah, yeah. Right?
And yes, Bigfoot chasers.
Do you believe in Bigfoot? And if so, does he really eat beef jerky?
The Bigfoot thing is people have seen these, and I've seen a lot of compelling evidence about it.
It's Whiskey Business with Dino Tripodis. Join us for what we call a good conversation with a good pour. You really can't ask for much more than that, can you, people? Check us out at WhiskeyBusinessPod.com, a proud member of the Evergreen Podcast Network.
Be sure to subscribe to or follow Gen X Grown Up wherever you listen. And while you're there, rate and review the show, too. It helps more than you know.
Do you like a good Western that doesn't pull any punches?
Have you ever seen such cruelty?
Then don't miss the Mel Brooks epic.
Yes?
Blazing Saddles.
Hey, where are the white women at?
It's the way God intended Westerns to be. Sort of.
Throw out your hands, take out your tush.
Blazing Saddles, a TV 50 premiere, Tuesday nights, 8 o'clock movie.
Let's get going talking about these films that people claim could not be made today, even though they were made back when we were kids in the late 70s and early 80s. And as a listener, let me just give you a warning that we're talking about political and social climate right now. So we might talk about some sensitive subjects. We might broach on areas of, you know, sensibilities of, you know, kind of how you lean politically. It's in no way to alienate anyone. If that bothers you, we'll just let you know now and you can listen to the next episode and skip this one if that is, we want to let you know what you're in for, because we have to talk about why these movies might or could not be made. So Mo, with that being said, why don't you get us started with the first one we're going to discuss?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to hit the ground running with this one. So the first one we're going to talk about is Blazing Saddles, 1974, Mel Brooks classic.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. We don't need no stinking badges.
Now, for people who don't know the movie, I can't imagine that many of you out there, brief synopsis. In order to ruin a Western town, a corrupt politician appoints a black sheriff who promptly becomes his most formidable adversary. And it has Yvonne Little, Gene Wilder, Slim Pickens, Harvey Korman, Mel Brooks is in it. I mean, yeah. Amazing cast. And I found a lot of people who said this movie would get canceled.
Yeah. Okay.
A lot.
Okay. So start us, what was like the overarching reason? What was the reason people thought you could not make it today?
Well, I think Mel Brooks was just being Mel Brooks. Where he just like doesn't shy away from the racial references, and mm-hmm. and I think he does it to make fun of the people who are racist and who are prejudiced. I mean, that's his purpose. Like, and so to do that, he uses language that people would find very offensive today.
Yes. Yeah.
But I think that it was effective, I guess, you know, in the sense that, you know, he was trying to shock you in a sense, right? He'd say things and was like, oh my God, I can't believe they said that. But again, it made the right people look foolish, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. So I found a quote from Mel Brooks, from some interview that I think is very pointed to comedy in particular, because, you know, this is a comedy film. Mm-hmm. And he said, it's okay not to hurt the feelings of various tribes and groups, he said. However, it's not good for comedy. So I think it's fair to say that Blazing Saddle pokes fun at groups and stereotypes and behaviors of people, but doing it, it's not mean-spirited. And that's easy for me to say. I guess that's in the eye of the beholder, whether or not something is mean-spirited. Mel Brooks did not mean it in a mean-spirited way.
Oh, no, not
obviously.
At all.
But he thinks that, you know, effectively, I think what he's saying here, if I may paraphrase Mel Brooks, apologies, Mel, is that the oversensitivity to not offend people makes comedy more difficult to do because you have to be careful not to offend anybody.
Almost impossible, I'd say, almost.
Maybe. Yep.
I mean, for me, I had not watched the film up until preparing for this podcast. You guys make fun of me in the same way I make fun of John with Goonies. But
sure. Yeah.
I sat and I watched it last night. And I wanted to wait until right before the episode, so I, you know, had it fresh in my mind as much as possible. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I noticed right away, under 5 minutes in, two highly charged racial slurs right out of the gate.
Oh, yeah.
And it made me immediately start thinking of Quentin Tarantino's experience with Django Unchained. Django.
Oh, yes. Right.
So, yeah.
Yes.
Not the original Django
right.
Unchained.
Good point.
But Quentin Tarantino and Jamie Foxx both have talked at length about how they were ostracized and ridiculed, and people told him this will never fly and everything. And that film, Django, is a very good film, in my opinion. It's it's period specific to the language that would have been in common use at the time. Now, this, though, is a comedy film, right? Django is a drama action kind of, you know, Quentin Tarantino film. It's almost its own genre. I don't know. We're going to get into this. We're talking about, can these movies get made today versus what they were and how they were shocking slash offensive at the time they were released. Because of those changes in culture and because of all the, you know, the way that society has grown or changed or morphed or everything else over time, there are some things that are more offensive and some things that are far less offensive than they would have been back then.
Yeah. I didn't think about the ones that were less. Oh, good point.
Right. I mean, like that whole line where there it's all the different bad guys in the line. Right. And they're all signing up to go ruin the town to go, you know.
Right.
And it's essentially like
badges.
Yeah. 27 different racial stereotypes, you know, with different, you know, the Spanish guys with the bandoliers and everything. And they do the famous line. We don't need no stinking badges. But that is less offensive today because of how humorous it's used and because of the history of lines like we don't need no stinking badges as they have permeated society now. The first two racial slurs at the beginning of the film were by far the most offensive thing to me on the first viewing than anything else in the film. Like there was some other stuff like the tawdry behind the curtains thing with the secretary.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, the obvious making fun of the mongoloid, which is a term that we definitely don't use anymore.
Mongo.
Right.
But that stuff was it was very surface. It wasn't very deep. And so therefore, I just simply wasn't as offended as I might have been when this movie first came out.
You know, they say that people do comment that it's the racial tones in Blazing Saddles that probably is the primary reason that people say it couldn't get made today. But when you really dig into it, and Mo, you made this point kind of when we were talking on the phone the other day about it, is that if you actually watch it, most of the laughs in Blazing Saddles are at the expense of the majority of the white people, of the non-minorities. But if you just look at it at its surface and you don't analyze like what is really happening here, you know, then really what you end up with like is this headline syndrome where you see, oh, someone is poking fun. Someone used a racial slur. People just read the headline and they don't read the article. Right. They're like, oh, I know that's in the movie. Therefore, we're going to lash out and hate it without understanding the context. I don't know whether people even have the capacity to not prejudge a movie. Ironically, there's prejudice involved with the movie, whereas we're talking about prejudice in the movie, whether they have the capacity of not prejudging it based on what they hear about on social media before they give it a chance to find out if it's actually justified. And I think that's a that's something that factors in when I think about whether or not it could be made today.
Yeah. I mean, this also kind of reminds me a lot of All in the Family in a sense.
Yeah. If we had talked about Archie TV Bunker. Shows, that one would have been on the list.
Yeah, exactly. But it was the same kind of thing where it's like he was making fun of people who were bigots and all that stuff. I mean, that was the whole thing. Like he was showing it to make fun of it, you know, and to bring his service.
But to do that, you have to have the bigot there doing bigoted things in order to make fun of them.
Yeah. Right. Otherwise, you don't. Like, how do you know they're a bigot?
And that's
right?
the part that I think people have trouble palating today.
It's the same thing that Kevin Smith talked about in Chasing Amy. Right. He's in the movie. He got a lot of ridicule in Chasing Amy for the line that Brody gives where he's talking about, you know, all every woman needs is a good deep dicking, whether she's a lesbian or not, doesn't matter. And people gave him crap for that, especially from the gay community. And he said, look, did you not understand that I had the dumbest character in the film saying the dumbest thing? That was
dumbest
the point.
Things. Yeah. yeah.
right. Instead, it's just a pull quote and people get mad about it.
Exactly.
Without knowing the context. Yeah. That's that headline syndrome. Yeah.
It was funny because like my dad loved this movie. I watched it probably I was probably too young. didn't get all the jokes for by far. You know, it's true. Did not understand that joke at all. but I still think it's one of the funniest movies though out there, and especially for that time. And I think it did Mel Brooks, I mean, I saw some of his later stuff and he has not let up. So I'm happy about that.
Yeah. Okay. So any other points or shall we do a vote and see?
I think we're probably ready. I've got a question about our vote because we're telling listeners, right? We're saying Gen X grown up green lights or doesn't green light this particular film for production today.
Yeah.
So my question is, are we basing the red light or green light on the sensibilities or the offensiveness of the film? Or are we basing the red light, green light on whether we think it's a good film or not? Because there's are two different things for me in this case.
Yeah. So I would say I'm going to vote based on whether or not I think the movie could survive in this current climate.
And by surviving, you mean ethically or monetarily?
Be somewhat successful or?
Yeah. Could it be successful? Would it be canceled? Would Gen X grown up, the production company, go bankrupt because of lawsuits, because of incident? What are the things? I'm not judging subjectively on whether the movie was good, but could this movie, as is, unchanged, would we greenlight it today?
Okay.
Is that fair?
Yeah. I mean, I think I'm going to go against the norm on this one, but let's go.
If you're going against the norm, Mo, why don't you start?
Okay.
What do you think?
I guess I'm the norm. I would totally make this movie, especially, I'd make it more today because I think we need to bring this stuff more attention to it and make fun of people. So I would totally say go with it.
That's my vote too. I think this is the kind of, if we had more movies willing to push this boundary and not just being mean-spirited, like I said, but actually poking fun at these sorts of things that make people so mad without thinking about them, that we would have to think about them more. So I think it would take some heat, but I would green light Blazing Saddles today. I would. So what do you think against the norm? Where'd you end up?
Yeah, I'm definitely against the norm. I would 100% red light this film. I don't think it did enough of what you guys think it should do. I don't think it enlightens people enough. And I don't mean that it's just offensive. I don't think it's even terribly offensive. To me, I watched it. I think the difficulty that I have is I don't have the nostalgic view. This is kind of like the Blues Brothers discussion that we had. I didn't see it in the original day, so I don't have the humor sensibility that developed the nostalgia over the last 30, 40 years that you guys did watching this film back then.
Okay.
You watched it at a different point in your lives than I'm watching it now. To me, it's not that funny. It's not that offensive. Oh. I don't think it would make any money whatsoever. I think it would fall flat on its face. And I think Rotten Tomatoes would probably give it a 2.
Wow.
Okay. So what, I understand where you're coming from, George, but I think like some of the stuff that happens in remember after the sheriff saves the town from Mongo, like the lady comes and brings him a pie.
Yeah. And she's like, you won't tell anybody.
I wanted
about
to apologize.
This.
Yeah. She says, but you do have the good taste not to tell anybody. I mean,
it wasn't a good line.
That was a bullet right to the center of what happens today.
I don't disagree with you that it doesn't make racial points. I think you're right about that. But it wasn't well delivered. The comedy styling of it wasn't done well.
I disagree.
She had to walk away and then come back, and it was by that point the moment was gone. I didn't like it. Yeah,
yeah, that's Mel Brooks pacing for you. So
yeah,
all right. If it's a democracy, it's going to get greenlit.
Yeah.
If we all have to agree, it's not. But
yikes.
So exactly. two to one, four is where we came down.
Yeah.
All right.
If it's one of those things where we all have to agree, we're probably not making any movies with this production company.
No, we're not making any movies. Probably. Right. All right. When we get back to the break, we're going to leave the Wild West and head to the airport. Stick around.
Oh, God.
You've got questions. We've got answers. Business leadership, ownership, and sales can be challenging. Tune into the Accelerate Your Business Growth podcast to learn from the world's experts. Join me, your host, Diane Helbig, as I chat with people who have expertise in various areas of business. You'll enjoy the lively conversations that are focused on providing you with the ideas, tips, and suggestions you need to realize greater success. Get what you need for your business when you need it from the people who have the answers. Accelerate Your Business Growth is part of the Evergreen Podcast Network and is available on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
You're listening to Gen X Grown Up. But if you have a friend who's not yet listening, why not? Tell them about us. They'll thank you later.
Fasten your seatbelts and get ready to laugh out loud.
Jim never vomits at home.
Can you fly this plane and land it?
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Johnny, what can you make out of this?
This? Well, I can make a cap, or a brooch, a pterodactyl,
R-E-S-P-E-C-T, find out what it means to me. R-E-S-P-E-C-T, take out T-C-P, suck it to me, suck it to me, suck it to me, suck it to me, suck it to me.
This next one makes a lot of people's lists, and there are lists. Like when you search, there's like the top 25 movies or TV shows or whatever that could never be made today. And it's a Zucker Abrams Zucker joint. It is Airplane from 1980. Now, I assume we've all seen Airplane.
Yes.
Okay. In case you haven't, fourth listener, here's what we're talking about. The basic premise is after the crew of an airplane becomes sick with food poisoning, a neurotic ex-fighter pilot must land a commercial airplane full of passengers safely. And it stars Robert Hayes, Julie Haggerty, Leslie Nielsen, a parade of other people in large and small roles. Yeah. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is in this movie. Right? Not as himself ostensibly, or kind of he is. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Yeah. So there's a lot of films from this era, comedies especially. And this plays in a recurring theme. Part of it, there are some racial overtones in this movie. Part of it, there are sexism or non-feminist thinking, misogynistic, that kind of stuff in there. And I found a quote by David Zucker, who actually directed this film.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, echoing what Mel Brooks said, we seem to be losing our ability to laugh at ourselves and our world.
Yeah, I think we are.
I think he's onto something there. He goes on to acknowledge that he would struggle to get this film made today because studio executives are scared of backlash over controversial jokes.
Yeah, he's not wrong.
In his opinion. That's David Zucker's words, not mine. So, yeah, I mean, funny movie. This, I guess, is probably one we all saw contemporarily.
Yeah.
In the 80s, whenever it came out. Yeah. And I see George Wincing is another film looks like he doesn't think is funny or interesting.
This one is different for me, though. I did see it like you guys did back when it came out. I think I saw it like a year or two later when it was on VHS. So probably 82.
Yeah, me too, probably. Like I don't think I saw it in the movies. Yeah.
I liked this movie at that age. Rewatched it for this episode.
Okay.
The nostalgia part of me still likes it. Trying to be objective into what that film looks like today, it would have to have, I guess, different production maybe for me to feel like it was a modern film. I would need a little bit tighter writing. The writing was almost like too tight. So maybe looser writing. It was like very clipped, like boom, 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 boom. Now let's move to the next thing. Boom, 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 boom. Let's move to the next thing. Boom.
Kind of
boom,
mechanical boom. Almost.
Yeah.
Right.
A little bit. Like it didn't give enough time. Like I think Blazing Saddles did. Blazing Saddles gave enough time between the jokes to develop Cleavon Little. He was arguably the star of that film. I think in this Leslie Nielsen and what was the guy who played the fighter pilot? I can never remember his name, but
I think it's Robert Hayes.
Robert Hayes. There you go. Obviously, they're the two biggest parts of my memory about this film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it's okay, but it's difficult to evaluate how this movie would be received today because a lot of those jokes were not only cultural, racial, misogynistic stuff, but they were timed to that specific moment in time.
Mm-hmm.
And the jokes themselves would need to be rewritten with the same mindset because the jokes are antiquated. You can say,
they might
I
not
speak
land
jive.
Now. Yeah.
Nobody now is going to know what the fuck you're talking about.
What's jive?
What are you talking about?
My kids would go see the movie because it's supposed to be funny. And then they would come out and they would say, why was that funny?
Oh, I didn't understand it. Yeah.
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 Okay.
One thing I think people definitely get offended about is that the pilot obviously has PTSD, right? They keep having the flashbacks and all that stuff. And the fact that it was making fun of that, I think people would definitely.
Oh, the making fun of it.
Good point.
Finding humor in it.
That would absolutely get some write-ups. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, I guess PTSD probably wasn't, wasn't taken as seriously. Was it even called PTSD back then? I don't know if it was. Are they called by name?
It just started to become PTSD from shell shock, right? I did a paper in like 84 in school on it.
Okay.
Because my uncle had it. But, for him, it was still like shell shock or something like that, they had different terms.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think you're right. That would absolutely be the part of the movie that would probably be the most controversial. The misogynistic stuff would be like points that they would bring up in that article, but they would talk about offending our military and the good work that they do. That would become a big point, Mo. You're right.
Yeah, I didn't think of that. Yeah. I found another quote from David Zucker that I think is very probative too. And he said, this is all in one article that I found. But he was saying, although people tell me they love Airplane and it seems to be included on just about every top five movie comedy list, there was talk at Paramount of withholding the re-release over feared the re-release.
Wow.
Not making it again. Over feared backlash for scenes that today would be deemed insensitive. So the studios are really, I mean, it's just the movie that already exists that you could watch right. today. Like they were just going to try to make some more money off of it. And they're like, I don't know. I think they ultimately did.
I mean, it's understandable that they're having the conversations, but it doesn't sound like they actually held it back from re-release. They went ahead and went through it.
No, it ultimately did.
That's an important point to make. It's not that studio execs shouldn't have these conversations. They absolutely should. They have a responsibility on both sides of that argument. Mm-hmm. But it sounds like that, at least in this case and maybe some others, that they're making the right decisions. I think the difference is, in the past, we just didn't have the conversations. Now we are having the conversation. I don't think that's a bad thing.
Yeah. To me, I mean, this movie was just, it was absurd, right? I mean, I think it was meant to be an absurd movie, right? I mean, none of it made sense. It was just one liner after another, which were some brilliant one-liners in it.
True.
You know, I'm thinking though, as far as I just thinking about like what other parts of, besides the PTSD thing, would get like hit up on this thing. I mean, there's drug abuse. Oh, I picked a bad day. Stop sniffing glue.
You'd have the child molestation thing would probably get another write up. Mm-hmm. The whole thing where the pilot is telling little Johnny to sit on his knee.
Grown man naked.
Right. That would probably get a write up, or at least a paragraph.
Yeah, for
sure. I hadn't thought of that. Yeah. The misogyny, while frowned upon, is not like a cancelable offense, because we have misogynistic characters in modern films today.
Yeah.
They're just treated as dumbasses. Yeah. You know, so we just look at them that way. And they were kind of, I guess, really everybody kind of was in this film. Dumbasses and heroes alike were both kind of, they were mansplaining left and right too, you know, all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know who found this. It might have been you, Mo, but there was a discussion on Reddit that I thought was really amusing. That said, one user asked why the movie wouldn't fly today. And Melting Diamond replied, because jokes at the airport tend to get you tased now. not particularly pertinent to our discussion of making the film, but I thought that was really amusing. And he's right. I remember flying. I was like, nope. Okay, so I think we're at a point now. Any other kind of observations? All right. So, George, I held you for last time. Let's start with you. Gen X Grown Up Production Company, this film, what are we doing with it?
Green light or red light? This one's a toss-up for me. I think with a little bit better editing, a little bit better pacing, obviously some better graphics because, you know, it was 1980 versus 2023. Yeah, I think I could green light this movie. I think I could without too much problem. I don't think I'd be terribly worried about the PTSD stuff. I don't think I'd be terribly worried about the child molestation humor. I'd probably spin that like I would have him wear a Catholic collar or some shit like that. He'd be like a Catholic priest pilot maybe or something. I could spin it enough that I feel like it could get made with some notes from us at the studio office.
Yeah. How does South Park get away with all this stuff? They do this all the time.
They don't give a shit.
Yeah, I guess so. And well, you know, the thing is, because people go, oh, that's just South Park. That's how they are. You know?
Yeah.
It's like your racist great grandmother. Like, oh, that's Nana. Yeah. It's just how she is.
Everyone knows she's into racist. It's fine.
All right. You know, so I hear what you're saying, George. But what I think I heard you say is, if we change it enough and spin it, we can green light it.
I don't need it changed enough. I just need some tweaks done to make it a modern film. You're not releasing the indie version of this now. And it's not going
to
be.
And bring the jokes up to date money. And that kind of thing are things you want to do. So I love Airplane. But this movie, as it is, I don't think I can green light it. It's just too many little things about it. Yeah, I hadn't thought about the PTSD thing. And, you know, that's bordering on some area that's just, it's not make funnable for me. And I hadn't considered that because when I watch the movie, it's compartmentalized and I'm just, it's Airplane. Like, it's just South Park.
Huh.
But thinking of it today, I would be uncomfortable green lighting it, I think.
Wow. Okay.
Not just for that reason, for a couple of others, though. Yeah. What do you think, Mo? So if it's a tiebreaker, if it's a majority, are you doing?
I was on the, wherever I decide, it's going to be leaning that way. It's not, it can be strongly that way, you know, because it seems like it's kind of like right in the cusp here. One thing is that this movie was an original movie when it first came out. Like, there wasn't any kind of humor movies like this. You know, now they did Naked Gun after it. They did other movies after it that had similar kind of humor. But this is
this absurdist humor. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So if looking at it, that if like I did like this is the again an original movie, you know, that type of humor, that kind of stuff. I'm going to go with George and say like, yeah, I mean, modernize the jokes, obviously, because some of the stuff is just out of context would not make sense.
Okay. Right.
But I would lean towards it, maybe I lean heavier into some of these jokes, actually, tell you the truth, and make him, you know, maybe a little stronger. But yeah, I would probably greenlight it.
Yeah. Yeah, there are large swaths that I'd be fine with, but there are little divots in here that, if I'm being honest with myself, I would have to modify the film to be comfortable with greenlighting it. And that's not really what I think that defeats the purpose of our exercise. Yeah. So again, 2-1, it's a democracy. Great. New airplanes getting made. If not, like you said, George, ain't nothing getting made, Ryan. All going to agree. Probably.
Right. Yeah. So.
Yeah. All right. Stick around. We're going to leave the airport and head to college after this.
Coming up on 5 Minute News, I'm Anthony Davis. You might think it's partisan because maybe it's critical of one side or the other, but it's not. It's just the truth. And I think that's also something that's kind of unusual for Americans listening to the radio or to podcasts, because the news landscape in the States has been so partisan for so many decades. So 5 Minute News is verified, truthful, independent, unbiased, and essential world news daily.
Each episode of Gen X Grown Up has show notes loaded with links where you can learn more about our topics. And there's even more to see and hear over at genxgrownup.com.
One of the funniest films of the year. I laughed my head off. Sneak previews. It's gratifying, raunchy, and uproarious. The Nerds Triumph, Los Angeles Times. It's really, really funny. I was rolling on the floor, as did all the other members of the audience. KHJ-TV, Los Angeles. And USA Today says, this is great stuff. Three cheers for Nerds.
I'd link to that.
Revenge of the Nerds. Rated R. Check newspapers for theaters.
All right, so let's go to college.
Mm.
So this movie, the movie is Revenge of the Nerds, which came out in 1984. Yep. And for those of you who haven't seen this movie, at Adams College, a group of bullied outcasts and misfits resolve to fight back for their peace and self-respect. And it had Robert Carradine, Anthony Edwards. I mean, there's a lot of people went on to do a lot of other work this, but it had a ton of people. And man, let me tell you, I had a hard time rewatching this movie. I mean, it was just like,
what, you mean today or back then?
Yeah, no, today. I honestly didn't care for it that much when it first came out, too. Everyone else was, like, loving this movie. I was like, right. It just made me feel uncomfortable, to be quite honest. Because to me, it was like, it was trying to make nerds cool, and I didn't feel like they were in this. I thought they were just becoming, like, the other people.
Wow,
like
the people, so they didn't, you like, were the asshole. Turning into that. Wow.
I might have been. I could have been, yeah. I was as nerdy as they come. And watching this, I was like, and I guess some of the things too, which today would not fly, like the one Asian student, every time they showed him, like he had the little, you know, the Japanese, you know, ding, 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 music in the background.
Yeah.
And he's wearing the kamikaze headband. And, you know, just the thing about it, which is just like, I was just not comfortable with it.
I love the fact that it was Jaime Cromwell instead of James Cromwell. It was before he Americanized his name. I just thought that was so... Every time I watch that film, that's the first thing I notice every time when they're going through the credits. I still love this movie. This was one of those that, like Blazing Saddles is for you two guys, this is one that hit right in the middle of my coming to love films kind of time frame. But for me, the biggest pain point of this movie today would not be the trick rape scene that everybody talks about on every list this thing makes.
What's,
right?
What's worse than that? What's the other part?
I think the thing that would draw the most ire, especially from the younger audience that this would be targeted towards, would be the bullying itself. My son, 20 years old, just got out of high school a year or two ago. He was on the football team. He was actually a standout on the football team, started offensive line. He was Ogre, essentially, right? He was that character as far as what he did in football. But the thing that I know he would be asking as he came out of that film with his friends or to me would be, why are the jocks being jerks to the nerds? Everybody at my school gets along. Nobody gets bullied in that way because we don't allow it.
Yeah.
I think their generation, especially, you know, 20 and under right now, they are so hyper educated toward being careful about bullying each other, especially with, you know, we had the Orlando shootings and that was, you know, a bunch of stuff at schools and everything, all the mass school shootings and everything that have come out since that movie was made. That would probably be the biggest sticking point of this film.
I had not thought about the bullying aspect actually at all, but you have a really good point there. Yeah. But you mentioned the part that I thought we were going to mostly be focusing on, which is like distribution of someone's nude photos and kind of coerced rape, right, and the kind of thing. And that's a huge part of it too, though.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, they had a lot, like, again, putting the camera into the girls' shower or the sorority, whatever
it
was,
in their whole house.
And they had the thing in their whole house. And then the guy who dressed up as the girl's boyfriend and disguised himself so he could sleep with her. You know, that's the one that I think a lot of people have an issue with.
That's the trick rape scene, 100%. Yeah.
Yep, that's the trick rape scene.
Right.
It just seems like, is this very, very juvenile humor? Like,
sure.
Extremely juvenile humor.
And that trick was a victory. Like, that was the goal of that part of the film, was to accomplish that sexual encounter.
So what's the title of the movie?
Yeah. Well, it's Revenge of the Nerds.
Right. That was one of their revenges.
Right. It was sleep with somebody else's girlfriend.
Right. Exactly. Right. And
but
to
at the expense
her.
Of someone who they weren't even mad at. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, they were kind of mad at her. She had been a part of the bullying earlier in the film.
Yeah. I mean, not that that justifies it, but yes.
No. I'm not saying it justifies it. I'm just saying you said that she wasn't.
No, I'm not saying you are. I'm just clarifying.
You were saying they weren't mad at her. They were absolutely mad at her as well. She was as much of an antagonist as the alpha football player quarterback.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So how about this one scene? Though, this one scene in here that we didn't talk about, which just also made me uncomfortable. The one gay member. Remember the whole javelin toss thing?
Yeah. Lamar Montrell.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And remember they did it. So for the way he runs, it made this really efficient.
The bouncy like javelin thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, ooh. I don't know. Yeah. I saw that one. I was like, ugh.
Yeah.
So
it goes back to another Chasing Amy reference for me. Kevin Smith, he has the character in there who's also a gay black man. And he says a line. He's like, I have to project this persona of being militant and straight because I am a minority of a minority of a minority. I am a gay black man, ostensibly the swishiest of the bunch, is how he puts it.
Yeah. So this was almost 40 years ago, 39 years ago now, right?
Yeah,
84 is that when it came out? Yeah. And it seems like even back then, the general like tone and culture was that anything sexual is taboo.
Yeah, it's America for you.
Don't even talk about whether it's rape in general, right? Yeah, it's North America. And you don't publicly discuss it. And so that's why movies used sex, because it was salacious and it was taboo and it made people uncomfortable.
It was hitting that demographic they wanted, young men.
Young men, that's right. You know? And so it was a way for like creatives, like filmmakers, to like use it for comedy, to lash back at the norms of society. And the problem is today, that hasn't changed that much. Like the sensibility is still, you don't talk about sex, it's taboo, you don't publicize it. But anything gets comedy out of it, it's pushing those boundaries. And now it gets, boom, knocked back hard on social media. It could cripple the box office right out of the gate because there's a big kerfuffle and they review bomb it on Rotten Tomatoes before they know the context or whether or not it's actually good or funny. It's pushing up against our norms and it gets attacked.
I think it gets a little bit more defense now from different segments of the society, though. Used to be if something was over-sexualized, everybody hated it. Oh, it was a bad thing, but let's go sneak in and watch it anyway. That was the typical response. But now you have movies like a recent one that's kind of in the same milieu, No Hard Feelings, the Jennifer Lawrence
great
film
movie
that came out.
Hilarious.
Right?
Yep.
That movie was very well received. I'm not saying it made $1 million, you know, or whatever. It made $1 million, but, you know, $1 billion.
Sure,
whatever.
Yes, okay. Yeah.
But there is the whole storyline about an older woman sleeping or being paid to sleep with a younger high school kid. There is her in the nude fight scene on the beach. All of that stuff came out in this movie, and that movie didn't get near the criticism that a movie like Revenge of the Nerds did in its time.
You know, the big difference with that movie is that everybody had a heart of gold. Like nobody was tricking anybody. Everyone had good intentions. You know, she was down on her luck and needed a car.
Well, she was still tricking that kid though. He got his heart broke.
The parents were paying her to do it. Yeah, fair. Okay. She was in on subterfuge. That's true. But she wasn't taking advantage of the kid. She wasn't trying to trick the kid other than do
and
what
she was
being paid
to
do,
some,
which
but,
was
you know,
show him a good time.
Yeah.
Okay, Revenge of the Nerds. I think we pretty well covered it. Shall we hit our vote? Are we there?
Yeah.
Okay. I think Mo went first. George went first. I don't remember. Did you? Oh, George went first. Go first.
Yeah, I'll go first this time.
So get us going.
I would definitely not greenlight it. just because I think the whole premise just wouldn't make sense today. Like to what George was saying before about how no one would be able to relate to this particular two groups of people being bullied and that kind of thing. Like even nerds themselves aren't really even a thing that much anymore, really. I mean, they kind of are, but
nerds
not.
Are celebrated now. Why would they have revenge? They run the damn world.
Yeah, they make way more money.
Revenge of the jocks is what we need.
So I would not, you know, just mostly for that reason, I still think the movie would resonate right now.
Yeah. All right. I'm gonna back you up, Mo. I don't think I would greenlight this either. I mean, even if we modernized it and kept the story beats, but modernized the groups and who they are and flipped it or whatever. Just the bullying, I hadn't even considered, George, but really I think it's how sensitive we are about, you know, people's nudes leaking digitally and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And it's, they're making fun out of it. And I don't think it makes good sense these days. So I would probably not greenlight it beyond my own thinking. And then the bullying thing I hadn't thought of, that's another point against it. So what about you, George?
Well, shit, I don't get a vote. It's already two to one, no matter what I say, but
you have an opinion.
I do have an opinion. I always have an opinion. I think I agree with both of you. I don't think I would green light this one either, because the dichotomy of the two opposing forces, nerds versus jocks, is not the same story that it was in 84 that it is in 2023.
That's for sure. Yeah.
And the salacious parts of the film that would get people to rah, 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 but here's my money for my ticket kind of reactions, I don't think it would be enough. I don't think the things in that movie would draw enough people to come to the box office for our movie, as opposed to just crushing the shit out of it on social media. So we would spend $20 million making this film today, and we would lose 19 and a half. Like, this would be lucky if it made $500,000 in a 2-week release. It just wouldn't do well. It wouldn't become a cult classic. It wouldn't find an audience. And you'd have to
it's a snapshot of its time.
Yeah, you'd have to do a complete retool. I love the film. I still go back and watch it once a year because I enjoy it. It has that nostalgic kick for me. I would not make it today. Red light.
There we go.
Okay. First unanimous.
A unanimous one. We still haven't made a movie, but finally we're unanimous. All right. We have one more movie ahead of us. And this one actually takes place in our home state of Florida. Came out in 1981. I'll let you think about it during this break.
Hello, and welcome to Novel Conversations, a podcast about the world's greatest stories. I'm your host, Frank Lavallo, and for each episode of Novel Conversations, I talk to two readers about one book, and together, we summarize the story for you. We introduce you to the characters, we tell you what happens to them, and we read from the book along the way. So if you love hearing a good story, you're in the right place. Our ninth season is coming this fall. Tune in to hear from some of the all-time great authors, Charles Dickens, Jules Verne, F. Scott Fitzgerald, and more. Subscribe to Novel Conversations wherever you listen to podcasts.
If you're a diehard Gen X grown-up, you can pledge your support by clicking join on YouTube or by becoming a patron at genxgrownup.com/patreon.
In our commercial for the new motion picture comedy Porky's, we can only show you the outside of Porky's, because what happens inside is not to be believed. We can only show you this much of the locker room scene, this much of the cabin scene. But we can tell you, when you see Porky's, you'll be seeing the funniest movie about growing up ever made. Porky's. You too will be back for a second look. Rated R. Starts Friday, March 19th at a selected theater near you.
As John alluded to before the break, this is a Florida-based film, so you can only imagine it is highbrow, super intelligent kind of humor.
It's full of Florida men.
That's right. So this is Florida in film form. This is 1981's Porky's. Here's the synopsis.
Oh, yeah.
In 1954... Not 1981, but in 1954, a group of Florida high school guys try to help their buddy lose his virginity, which leads them to seek revenge on a sleazy nightclub owner. I'm going to substitute nightclub for strip club, and his redneck sheriff brother for harassing them. It starred Dan Monahan, Mark Harrier. Kim Cattrall is the only name you're going to recognize from this fucking movie.
Really?
Mm-hmm. It's a solid film for that particular moment in time, but it is incredibly controversial back then. And even today, it's still number one or two on these movies that wouldn't get made today kind of.
I know, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. I saw a quote. I was browsing through, you know, sometimes articles, sometimes I find things on Reddit, and I found this discussion. This guy, SG Ted Rock, said, back then, we thought it was all hilarious as teenagers, plus, you know, boobies.
Right.
Now it's like, oh, hey, pretty sure that's a sex crime. Yeah.
Like,
he's not like wrong.
Almost every other scene, right? And it's not just mm-hmm. Porky's. There was a Porky's 2, again, more sex crimes. Yeah. Porky's 3, yep. Again, more sex crimes.
Yeah.
Like, very few of the characters were even redeemable. And you kind of need that in a comedy good intention
somebody,
film.
Right?
You need somebody that's redeemable. Yeah. I mean, almost no one was.
Everybody's out for number one and we'll stop at nothing.
Yeah.
It was funny. When this movie came out, I was like, I didn't see it like early. So all my friends were like talking about it, you know, because everyone's talking about Porky's. So I went in there thinking like it was going to be like this, you know, oh, I'm going to see, you know, breasts and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It really wasn't a lot of that. I mean, throughout the whole movie, there was some, but it, like not as much as
the
it was
shower
talked
scene.
Up to be.
That's the one that everybody would talked about. Just the shower scene.
There's a lot of naked dudes if you want to see that.
Yeah. Right. But yeah, but I think people talked it up more than it was.
Yeah.
A little bit. Yeah.
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 You know, because I was sitting there thinking, I'm like, okay, you know, where is it?
The thing that gets me is this movie is when people talk about its controversies, it's always around the sexual angle. Nobody goes into the horrible fatherly abuse racist storyline that was there for the one kid that was on the basketball team that started the fight with the Jewish kid and then his father beat the shit out of him at the dance and said, you know, you let a Jewish boy be, and just, you know, he was like the 1950s motorcycle literal guy that just got back out of prison or some shit. Nobody brings that stuff up. To me, even today, that would be more jarring, and it was back then, than the sexual stuff. Sexual stuff was like, ooh, boobies, you know, I'm 81, I'm happy. Yeah. But that guy, you know, calling the Jewish guy all the bad names and the fights that were around that part really jarred me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, just generally throughout this film, so this is my Blazing Saddles, George, and I have a deficit in my brain where I think I've seen films and then I see them and I go, oh, crap, I haven't seen this film. I was certain I'd seen Porky's, but I went back to rewatch it for this episode. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, it's just like War Games. Remember we talked about War Games? I was sure I would have testified in a court of law I'd seen it. And then I started watching. I'm like, I've heard of all these scenes because everybody in my school was talking about them in middle school, junior high. So I felt like I had seen it, but I think I never actually got out to see it or didn't pick it up and rent it or whatever. Who knows what the deal was, but now I've seen it. And so again, I don't have the nostalgia for it at all, other than secondhand nostalgia that people told me about the movie back then. But there's a general predatory attitude towards sex. Sex is, that wouldn't fly today. I think the reason they say you wouldn't do it is like, it was a conquest. It was a bargain you had to cut. It was,
like a line, you had to be a man, right? In order to cross.
Meet somebody in
there
a shack
was,
and
yeah,
it made you a man.
Part.
And yes, yeah, all that. And it's just the conquest acts. Like, there was no discussion of any relationships anybody had. Not that you don't that you have to have love with sex, but it didn't even factor in. Nobody even mentioned it, really. You know, it was
like just
kind of
vague little hints here and there, but they were not the focal point of any of the scenes. You're right.
Yeah, they were not shown off in the characters at all. It was just kind of, they were more about, what can I get for me? Like you said, the characters were all for themselves, nobody redeemable.
Yeah.
That was kind of, that was a takeaway that I had.
Well, before we get to the vote, which I'll be interested to see how this vote goes, because honestly, I'm not even 100% sure. But to me, this movie has a modern equivalent called Superbad. You guys probably have seen that or at least heard about it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've seen it.
I think Superbad was
McLovin.
A more modern-ish equivalent. And not only did that get made, but it's a really good film. If you go back and watch Superbad, it's a good, you know, like teen angst kind of, you know, film, yes, yeah, us learning how to grow out of high school into the adults we become kind of thing, which I think Porky's might have started out as a kernel of that idea, yeah, and then went hard line right into boobs and everything else. Yeah.
Well, to your point, Superbad, the characters had layers.
There was
more going on, mm-hmm, than just the shenanigans,
right,
which is a modern, yeah, you know, I mean, filmmaking has changed in 30, 40 years, mm-hmm, obviously, but you know, that was enough. Boobies were enough back then. Shenanigans, right, were enough, maybe.
Yeah.
But okay. Yeah. It's comparable. You're right.
So I think it's time to jump us into the vote then, based on that. So
okay,
I'm going to start with John this time. John,
okay,
red, yep, light or green light?
So again, I don't have any nostalgia for it. Mm-hmm. So I'm purely based on what I've just seen in the last week or so, right? And it is about the crassness of the content and the two-dimensionality of the characters and the insensitivity and all that. But in general, it's not an entertaining movie either. Now, you said we're not factoring it was a good movie. I get that. But as an executive, I'm factoring in all of that. Plus, I don't think there's much redeeming quality in it. And frankly, I'm not going to green light it. And it also, like you said, Porky's 2, Porky's 3. If you can't make Porky's, you can't make half the teen sex comedies from the 80s, really, because a lot of them were this. So I'll be the first no vote.
All right. Yeah. Mo, what about you?
I'm a no, but mostly because, like you said, it was just like there's nothing redeemable about the characters. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In it,
yeah,
you know, like you don't root for anybody, you don't, you know, you never root for them to be successful or not successful, like,
yeah,
either way, like you just don't, yeah, really, doesn't really matter so much.
It's like the world's tamest stag film. It's like, yeah, you're just, it really watching is, it to see what they do, not what the story is, almost,
right?
Yeah.
And so yeah, for that, so I probably wouldn't be, just for that reason, be honest.
Yeah,
yeah, fair enough. I take a look at these films from our past, especially the ones that I've seen, and I think, mm-hmm, first, do I rewatch that film today?
Yeah,
then good, second, why, yeah, do I rewatch that film if I do, or why do I not, mm-hmm, if I don't? With, mm-hmm, this film, I don't rewatch this film today. It's on my Plex server, so anybody who has access, mm-hmm, out there, you can go watch Porky's and see all the stuff we're talking about. It's,
that's where I watched it.
Right. It's an okay movie. The characters are two-dimensional at best. Most of the time, they're, yeah, one-dimensional. I would say that
singularity,
it's not really worth the effort to take the poor script that this would be presented to us as to try and get, yeah, a rewrite or anything else. Not only would I not greenlight the film, I wouldn't even ask somebody to come back with it. I'd be like, take the script away. Don't ever fucking come back to our offices again. Because it's not that I didn't like it back then. In 81, I loved it. 2023, mm-hmm, it's kind of shitty. Yeah,
not worth remaking.
No.
Okay, another, mm-hmm, unanimous. Again, we have not made any movies, but at least we agreed twice.
Yeah.
So let's take our small victories. I guess if we're going democratically, we did make two movies.
We made two movies democratically.
We all need to agree.
Yeah,
yeah, okay, fair enough. All right. That was an exciting experiment. We haven't done anything quite like this before. And fourth listeners will let us know. Don't do that garbage again. Or that was interesting. We like the debate. Who knows?
Yeah. Well,
you let us know.
You'll let us know if we're red light or green light from now on. Yeah.
Right. We have red lit you. Here's a new review on iTunes. Enjoy it.
And this is just our opinions.
Before we leave, though, we have to talk about one of our generous, amazing patrons. You know, every once in a while we talk about a new patron. Then we talk about patrons who give us a raise for no particular reason. And we want to thank Tony R. If you're over on Discord with us, he goes by Fat Tony over there.
Oh, yeah.
He visited us in Atlanta at SFGE.
Yeah,
he flew over to spend time with us. And Tony's been a patron for a long time at what used to be our top tier of $25 a month, which is, mm-hmm, astounding, mm-hmm, to contribute 25 bones for something you get for free because you believe in it. Tony quadrupled his pledge.
Mm.
Wow.
I don't know how to talk about that, quite honestly. Look,
thank
every
you?
Contribution,
right?
Every bit of support.
Simple. Just say thank you.
Thank
Shut
you
the
is
fuck
there.
Up. There you go.
it feels so overwhelming. And so, you know, someone is willing to put that much faith in us,
yeah,
and contribute to our success and make sure that we can do what we do. Tony, you know that we love you like we love all of our patrons. And today, just for you, we're going to love you a little bit more than everybody else because of your generosity. I talk all the time about this amazing group of people who support us wherever they do, whether it's on YouTube or Patreon or wherever. He's been around for a long time with us, and if he didn't contribute a penny, he's a huge part of our community our fan base, and his commitment to us is just, it's overwhelming. What can you say, Mo? Like you said, thank you
from
the bottom of our hearts for your continued and reinvigorated support. I know Tony's working on opening a brand new record store where he lives. I wish him all the success. Cool. So I hope that goes well so that you can continue to support us the way you do. So all success to you. Thank you. If you would like to join Tony at a lower rate, perhaps, it's okay. You can do it for as little as $1 a month. Just head over to genxgrownup.com/Patreon. They'll walk you through how to do it. It's very easy, and we appreciate every nickel that you send our way. Thanks so much. All right, with that is going to wrap up our backtrack. Don't worry, we have another one coming in 2 weeks and a regular edition of our show coming next week. Until then, I am John. George, thank you so much for being here.
Yes, sir.
Mo, you know I appreciate you, pal.
Always fun, man.
Fourth listener, you're the one we all appreciate most of all, though, and we can't wait to talk to you again next time. Bye-bye.
See you guys.
Take care, everybody.
GenX Grown Up is a member of the Evergreen Podcast family. Learn more at evergreenpodcasts.com. No more washy shows till sunrise. Unacceptable for grown-ups. Your dinner cannot just be french fries. Basically, life sucks as a grown-up.
Is the fact that the pilot is suffering from PST, you know?
PTSD, yeah.
PTSD, I'm sorry.
PST, you know, is Pacific Standard Time. He's suffering from being in California.
He's suffering from living in California.
Yeah. We have a blooper. Say it again and we'll fix it and then we'll use your blooper.
I thought we could have just kept going. That was funny.
I don't have a blooper yet, so I need one. Okay. I'm already editing in my head.
Hit Pass Moto, sponsored by Moto America, is the show that keeps you up to speed on the latest in motorcycling and brings the biggest names in motorcycle racing right to you. From candid interviews with the top names in racing to providing insights into the trends and trendsetters driving the motorcycle industry, we have you covered. New episodes are available every Thursday at pitpassmoto.com and on your favorite podcast app. Ride on!